first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Football Podcast number 78. We are with Man United fan Mike Coxon. Yeah. That was it, really. That's the start of the show. I could introduce the rest, but I don't really want to.
But now we've got that topic out of the way.
Oh, yeah, we won't talk about it. Yeah. Sean Miller is with us.
Afternoon.
Mr. Daniel Silver is to my left.
Afternoon.
Just the four of us today. Stuart Orr is babysitting middle-aged men in Wetherspoons today. So, interesting. All right.
That's what he does most of the other
days. The habit of a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. Let's crack straight on. Coxon, where did you watch it?
I watched it in the Three Wishes in Harrow, which was full of Irish fans, so it was quite a quintessential Man United fan experience, watching a game in London with a load of Irish people. Yeah. All it needed was a few Scandinavians and some people from China, and you'd have the full club.
Exactly.
What can you say? We didn't set up the right way, unfortunately. I don't think City played particularly well, but they played well enough to win the game. Disappointing, but 38 game season, it always has been. When we were 8 points ahead, it was a 38 game season. When they were 5 points ahead,
stop now. Why did he start Park?
Because in the past, Park's worked very well in big games.
He's not going to start any more big games, is he?
He's not going to stay at the club. Well, it's a shame.
Normally, he used to play him in big games on the right hand side, didn't he? But he just sat at his depth in the middle of midfield.
He literally didn't do anything.
He doesn't quite have the legs anymore. He's never had a great touch, and unfortunately, his industry won't do it anymore. I can see where it was coming from. I would have personally rather seen Valencia and Welbeck start, seeing as they're in form. But
I
like the fact that he started Nani, though. Did you see Gary Neville's synopsis before the game and why he started? Because he absolutely roasted.
Cliche,
Did cliche, but cliche was amazing.
He was brilliant.
The problem was as well, Nani, it's not well and good being out on the right, but with Phil Jones and experience at right back, Nani's not had the support, even when he had someone like John O'Shea behind him. At least he was experienced enough to do the job.
I was reading up about the tactics, and they said, and to be fair, they said the way Man City have been winning games a lot throughout this season is by completely dominating the midfield and passing the ball about and ripping people apart in the midfield. So, and bearing in mind, I know Ferguson said he never plays for a draw, only ever plays to win. He only needed a point at City, really. And the thing was, is that the best way to break up a quality midfield is to play five in there and to try and disrupt it. And in theory, the idea was right, it just wasn't executed.
It's just the personnel, really, wasn't it? I mean, I can understand he doesn't want to drop either Carrick or Scholes because they've been blind in the second half of the season. But Park just didn't do what was required of him.
But in theory, he used to do it really well, and it just didn't perform.
I think we need someone like Darren Fletcher in those situations who
might be a bit critical. Phil Jones, potentially?
I'm not sure he's got the experience, but I would have rather seen Rooney drop into midfield.
What's the synopsis with Fletcher at the moment? Is he going to be back next season?
Well, there's been a lot of rumours recently that he was going to retire, which he's come out and denied. I think it's a case of waiting and seeing, really. I hope he gets better. But
Yeah, I bet you do.
We should see. But at the end of the day,
it's funny, Sticker used to get at the start of his United career.
It was awful.
So many players do that, but that's what United have done.
It was awful.
It's what great managers do. If players clearly have the potential, it's just finding the role and sticking with them. But I did see an interesting point on Football 365 this morning. Had United not conceded that goal at half time, who knows what would have happened? But
you might have had a shot on target.
Perhaps. You never know. But
the Steve Keane tactics,
bus. Oh, God.
I'd say Fergie's watched that game against Spurs and he thought, right, that is a Scotsman who knows what he's doing. I'll have some of that.
They beat us at Old Trafford, so.
Well, that's the thing. The only teams that have got anything off at Old Trafford this season are the teams that have just pitched up and thought, right, rather than trying to
do what Man United tried to do to Man City. Just have a go at them.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah,
like,
I mean,
absolutely, like Everton did it, Blackburn did it. Who was
Newcastle in did it where we drew with them.
Yeah, the game in Europe.
Bilbao.
They all went
out. There's been teams who've played their own game.
Well, the first 3 minutes, I thought that's exactly what you were going to do to Man City. I mean, you really looked like you were taking the game to them. They looked
rather annoyingly, I was trying to watch at home and my feed wouldn't work, so I missed the first 10 minutes running to the pub and looked after and I missed the 10
smell.
Minutes
it was not
best smell, so it's typical. But I mean, the worst thing for me about the game was Niall Quinn's commentary.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Partisan, to say the least.
It would have been better with Gary Neville in the box, because he wouldn't have been so pro-Man United.
It would have been better with Mike Summerby, who last season made a right arse of himself by having a sub-1 City
loss. It was good.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I think Niall Quinn at one point said, "We'll be fine when we get the second goal."
That's exactly, I remember that.
You can't say that, Niall. I mean, I understand you've got an elite club. Niall Quinn seems like a lovely bloke, but... age is farcical.
Well, that's what I put into my room 101 last week. Biased match reporting, biased commentary and stuff like that. Yeah. I think we know Niall Quinn was supported, doesn't he? Yeah. He was probably sitting there in a Man City pyjamas or
you
something.
You could
like
hear
that.
The champagne corks popping up full time.
I quite enjoyed it though, Mike, I've got to be honest.
I'm sure you probably did.
I didn't enjoy the game that much. It was a,
it was
dull,
a terrible game. It was great for the occasion, but if that was any other game during the season, it would have been a boring game.
Ferguson getting up and doing that.
That was the best bit.
And then he sat straight back down when Carrick went right through the back of someone about a minute later.
He's very easy to lip read, Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, I can't really say it when we don't have the explicit tag on iTunes, but let's say he called him a...
Was he
talking to Mancini.
About his player? Or
about Mancini.
Really? Yeah. Well, there you go. The top manager comment or manager moment of the weekend will go to Arsene Wenger though, and the Stoke fans.
Oh, amazing.
Brilliant.
That was amazing.
He didn't know what happened. He basically said the club is full of hatred.
Hate, is what he said.
They booed Aaron Ramsey.
That's bizarre.
And I don't know whether he said something about the Stoke fans since the incident. I really, in a way, I hope he did, because I hope they weren't just booing him for getting his leg broken. Secondly, what I found fantastic on a wrong scale as well, they were booing Arsenal for passing the ball.
Yeah,
you have to have been doing that ironically.
Yeah, and Rory Delap got a new contract last night as well. I don't know if anyone saw that. He got a 1-year extension to his contract.
Every year I predict Stoke are going to get relegated, and every year I'm wrong, but surely that's got to come to an end eventually. Someone's got to find out their style of play. They've held on to it longer than Barcelona have managed.
It will be interesting. I think they will have a season soon when they struggle, and it will be, I think the fans will probably turn on Pulis, because they've never liked him in the past and now love him, obviously, and worship it as they should, the club he's built. But anyway, are we back onto the normal show now? We've done the derby. Show number 78, ladies and gentlemen. In the week of the FA Cup final, I think it's quite fitting that this week's stat involves the old Wimbledon, the only Wimbledon. In 1978 they finished 13th in Division 4, which was their first season in the league, before they started climbing all the way out through the not just the non-league pyramid but then the league pyramid.
And 10 years later they won the FA Cup.
Indeed, yeah. Didn't take them long, did it? Let's be fair. Did not take them long. I think as well, Nottingham Forest won the league that season as well, the Division 1, having just come up from Division 2. So I think they were the first team to go to win the title, having just been promoted. But I don't know that. That's my own knowledge, rather than something I've googled. All right. The other big talking point of the week has probably been Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, it was a bit out of left field, wasn't
we it? Got Hodgson appointed as well, because it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago a game when we all said nothing's been talked about for an England job for ages, and then it was back on the back page the next day.
Yeah.
Right, Forson Hodgson. Dan, we'll go with you first. Take your Spurs hat off. Dan's a Spurs fan, people don't know. Take your Spurs hat off.
He doesn't know.
Take your Spurs cap off. and what would you say about the appointment, just as an England point of view, first of all?
As a roundabout way, just looking, because I just jotted a few things down about it, right? And as an England fan, I think what the Sun came out with on the front page today was just an absolute piss take.
I haven't seen it.
It showed the quality of their journey.
Yeah, it was. It was Roy Hodgson here to basically to
okay.
see you in Ukraine against France.
Yeah,
right, cool.
To be honest, I don't think he even has that strong a speech impediment.
No, and it's just
his Croydon accent.
Yeah,
I
do want to hear him talk about the world rankings though, at some point. But no, okay, yeah.
So there's been. Everyone's given a lot of stick, right? Which is, but for me, the main thing is that Bernstein coming out and saying that he was the only candidate they thought of, the only candidate that was right, nothing to do with money, purely about Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
So you're thinking,
I think
that doesn't make no, but that doesn't make any sense. At least, why not? Why have they not interviewed? And why have they not interviewed the man that the country?
So I didn't want Redknapp.
Expensive. I didn't want Redknapp. My thoughts on Harry Redknapp are well established. But the last thing England needed was to go through the bar club interviewing a few people. With Redknapp, you knew you'd probably have to pay £12 million compensation to get him out. He'd already said he wouldn't work for less than a salary of Capello. So 4-year contract at £6 million a year.
I completely agree. No, I completely agree with all that. Right, yeah. Finances, massive issue.
Then okay, no, okay. What
it's got nothing to do with money. What?
All right, to counter that, I don't think it's a finance issue. The job that the FA are looking for, Harry Redknapp is not right for that job.
No.
I think the FA have now realised, right, we haven't got a group of players that's going to win anything.
Yeah.
So they're not looking for someone to mould a team of players. They're looking for someone to completely rebuild the structure. Right?
Yeah.
Place opens in, where is it? It's in Midland somewhere, isn't it? That opens in June, July. They're looking at a man that they see as being the figurehead. Roy Hodgson could go into the under-17's dressing room or the under-15's dressing room and talk to them about football.
Well, Harry probably will.
No, I don't think Harry will be interested. Harry will be interested in the day-to-day management of a squad of players. If I was looking for a club manager, I would pick Redknapp over Hodgson. If I was looking for an international manager, I think they made the right choice out of those two.
There's every debate for that, but it's all the excuses about why. I don't think
they haven't made excuses. Yeah. They don't have to make excuses. It's the bloody press in the conference. Yeah. They've got to keep bringing up his name anyway. Bernstein has said they've picked him on his CV. They've never appointed an England manager before that has had international experience. Do you know his full CV, Hodgson?
Yeah.
The sort of teams he's managed.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Helmstead is where he started, and if you actually ask him, that's what he calls that his water to wine job. Because basically, when he joined Helmstead, they were like relegation candidates every season. They'd survived by goal difference. He won the title in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
People in Sweden still like revere him for that. And he won the title again in 79, about 3 or 4 years later. Malmo, Switzerland, Inter, Blackburn, Grasshopper, Copenhagen. Inter even took him back, having been the manager as a director of football. UAE, Finland.
Who we very nearly got qualified for the Euro 2008.
They had more points in there. They finished on 23 points in Group A. England finished on 22 points in Group B under McLaren.
And Finland also had, I think, Serbia, Portugal.
Oh, yeah, they were
the top group, team.
Because of the way the pooling works,
Denmark,
and the seeding.
Yeah.
And then obviously, after leaving Finland, Fulham, Liverpool, and West Brom champion. At Switzerland, he got into the third in the world rankings.
Yeah. Although the world rankings mean nothing.
He freely admits, he said, his quote was, I'm no more a Chinaman than Switzerland were third in the world, but still, it's an achievement, and it shows what he did.
Wait, so we didn't actually say where he got into in the world rankings? That's a shame. That was the opportunity, we'll never get it again.
But
at the same time, I mean, it's easy to look at what happened at Liverpool, but there were so many different facts. And you've only got to look now, they're still a club in disarray.
Yeah, you can take his league status out. Yeah. He lost 32 qualifying games for Finland and Switzerland. He lost 4 games.
Yeah.
And as you say, Finland and Switzerland are going to be playing the heavyweights of European football, not just the
And Switzerland, he took them to the 94 World Cup. Who didn't qualify for the 94 World Cup?
England.
So
the problem is, that yes, you look at his CV, you look at his track record, it is good. You can't get excited about it. I think as an England fan, I think you can't get excited about.
True, but I'm kind of fed up of getting excited and disappointed.
Yeah, but that's what being a football fan is about.
I think there's a realisation amongst the most people now that England aren't good enough.
Yeah.
And under Harry Redknapp, some people would have been going, we're going to win it. The FA have taken a long-term view. I think they've appointed. I genuinely think they've appointed the right man.
Yeah, I mean,
ex-Palace as well. He started his career at Palace. You know that?
Yeah,
his
dad and Steve Kenwood's dad used to be a bus driver and a conductor combo.
Okay,
he's also the only England manager to have never played professional football. Anyone ever? But my favourite thing I saw on Twitter this week, and I can't remember who it was by, but I'll dig out the tweet and retweet it. someone saying, and the son of giving Roy Hodgson a stick for having a speech impediment, they wanted us to hire someone who can't read or write.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, right. When you look at it in that context.
And obviously that's a very exaggerated viewpoint if I read that, but he's admitting himself he's not organised, and you need that international level. When you've got, it's not like every week you can go in, beat your chest.
Did anyone see the press conference?
Would have been great on a short term kind of
for one tournament,
give our team a lift.
I think if that tournament had been the 2010 World Cup, he would have been brilliant. But yeah.
This is what I've always said as well, is that he's a fantastic motivator and man manager, and that's the way he works best, is over the course of a season, by getting the best out of players and growing them in confidence over
the
course
of a season. He's not an international manager.
No, absolutely. He's not. But I think there's a lot of reasons why Hodgson, and a lot of them make sense, but I think there's a few unanswered questions, which is what is making the public unhappy.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I think a lot of those questions were exaggerated by the press, though. I think a lot of those questions were put into people's minds unnecessarily because they had such a pro-Redknapp agenda.
Yeah, yeah. Did anyone watch the press conference all the way through as well?
No.
He came across really, really well. He really did.
Yeah, and I've read some extracts.
I like the fact that they've given him the nickname The Brain in our paper today.
He speaks about 30 languages,
That's also another problem with England managers and with football in general. I think because he's middle class, he's going to get a lot of snobbery against him because it's
middle
seen as old man
intellectuals.
Space. Yeah, people don't like that in football, which is ridiculous.
That's why our listeners are so low.
It must be why they ate me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to see that in about 8 weeks' time, whatever it is.
When
we're sat here doing a podcast, we've got no points.
We've lost to Norway, we've lost to Belgium, we knew it should
have been Alan Kirbishley who got the job.
Always said that Hodgson was a wanker.
I think there's a groundswell of support building for him, and I think a couple of decent results. Gav, Les Rose Beef, I think Sean, you certainly saw it, started the hashtag Love Roy Hodgson
there.
He started it.
It was in the Metro today.
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually got. There was a piece in the Metro about, you know, on Twitter it was that Love Roy Hodgson Day was started, and I thought of Alex Rosbeef.
Yeah, there you go. And a lot of people got behind that, as did we, because...
Well, that's the thing, you have to. Now, that's it. Yeah. Stop, no point crying over spilt milk. A lot of people wanted Harry Redknapp to see what he could have done, but it's not happening.
It will be interesting to see how he sets his team up in the first game, which is, I believe, is against Norway. Who he picks, obviously, who's his captain, and what he sets up, because he's always been a 4-4-2 man.
Yeah.
He has always been a 4-4-2 man. So it'd be interesting to see whether he switches that and changes that.
So much so that he used to get all the banks of four to do everything together, didn't he?
Yeah.
At his club, so Fulham, that's how he got them through to the cup final.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, but I'm behind it.
We've got to be. There's no point not.
The other thing is, at least it's actually now done and dusted, and we know where we're going to be in a few weeks.
On a Spurs note, I'm not sure.
Well, it doesn't. They're maybe not going to give him a new contract. I'm
worried. I was chatting to Mike on the way down. So I'm worried now that it's all too late, I suppose. And
lucky you were chatting to Mike, because he's now piling into the Bex, isn't he?
Bex Blue.
For listeners, the defeat was so bad on Monday night that it's turned Mike off drink.
Turned him blue.
Have you switched allegiance? You're now blue.
I will never switch allegiance in anything but beer.
Right. But no, I just think I'm not sure if I feel a bit sorry for Redknapp, because I know how much he wanted it. Whether it's too late for Spurs, whether it did cause a load of problems for us this season, and I just think that all of this, you know, like my old man's so chuffed that he's staying. I speak to a couple of lads in the office. I'm so chuffed that he's staying. So chuffed that he's staying. I'm not sure. And none of it will make any difference unless we finish fourth. And that is why tonight, I know we're going to, but tonight are two of the biggest games for all clubs involved.
Massive. Absolutely
Newcastle,
massive.
Newcastle, Chelsea and Spurs, Bolton.
Which will also have a tie-in on the title because of how Newcastle get on tonight and what's going to be riding on that game on Sunday. It's really interesting. I had no real different... I was quite impartial watching the game on Monday. A mate of mine made a good point. If Man City won, which they did, obviously, going to the last game, we could have so many issues.
When was the last time we've had a title decided on the last day?
Yeah, title decider, relegation, and potentially the Champions League spot to play for, which would be fantastic.
for a neutral, it's set the league up perfectly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is massive. Which game's on TV tonight? Is it the Spurs?
Spurs Bolton, yeah. Which makes no sense.
Well, the Mayamba thing as well, because he's going to be back on the ground and stuff like that. Yeah. So, and that's Bolton's game in hand as well. So Stu, as a QPR fan, they're all going to be
I saw him on the way down. He couldn't be here, but he said if you guys don't beat Bolton tonight, we are in so much trouble.
Yeah. Well, especially when you look at the games they've got left. Yeah. Man City away in the last game of the season.
That's right.
Can't see much happening there.
There's one other talking point of the weekend. Surely got to be Torres scoring a hat trick.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I saw someone on Twitter said that Torres scored a hat trick. Wigan win 4-0 and Hodgson appointed England manager. What the hell is going on in the world?
Gary Lineker said Spurs win.
Was it?
Torres score a hat trick. I can't remember what the other one was. And he went, "What is going on in football?"
Yeah. No, it was very interesting. Moving on to which stand-up performance in the last show, player or team? Coxon, we'll start with you, mate.
Wigan has got to be.
Yeah.
Brilliant at the weekend. The thing that annoys me is why don't teams do it all the way through the season?
Yeah.
So it's not as if they added a load of players who sparked them into life in January.
Stuart's penis is a lot like Wigan. A lot of people laugh at it, but it always stays up. And that's why he's now having a kid. That is... fantastic result.
Where's that written down?
It's not.
You've got to have that somewhere.
You never would have called that before that game, would you?
No.
It was ridiculous.
Victor
Moses
and Cisse didn't score. That's another big thing. Gary Lineker could have tweeted that as well.
How did Cisse not score?
Yeah.
Hitting the bar, 12 posts and bar, and he looks like, he's so dangerous, isn't he? He's a quality player.
Yeah.
I think he's on, not a betting man, but I think he's on 5-2 to score tonight, like, or something like that. And I'm like, you've got to put money. You've got to put money on that boy scoring every game.
Yeah,
he looks—he's unbelievable player. But sorry, yes. So
Wigan.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And also Everton, actually, they've just been fantastic. Yeah. Second half season in the game.
Stephen Pienaar.
You wonder why can't they get a team together for the first half of the season? If they did, they'd be in the Champions League.
Do you think it was a mistake letting Pienaar go back to Everton?
No, he won't.
He was never going to play at Spurs.
And when he did play, he was distinctly average.
Really?
Really average.
He nearly scored a cracker last night. He cut inside keeper just tipped it over. That's a decent point for Everton as well.
Yeah.
Not a bad point. Peter Crouch with a GTN goal, which was the 1,000th goal of the Premier League.
And own goal in the other game as well.
Skirtle
scored their own goal in the other game. Yeah.
Oh, what a Fulham game. Fulham are just. Liverpool, sorry, are just funny, aren't they? just hilarious.
Everything they do.
I've said it before, and again, it's almost quite sad to see such a big club with such a great history. It just gets worse and worse, and it has been for the last probably about 3-4 years now.
Although, what a hat trick from Suarez.
Suarez, yeah. What a
hat trick. Unbelievable three goals. Obviously, the third one took them mustard.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Sorry, go on.
I would have gone for Wigan again, probably.
I think you've said Wigan for about 8 weeks. Even when they were losing, you were saying Wigan.
I'm really biased at the moment. I'm going to go with, even though they're playing like Coventry's under 17 side, Southampton were so emphatically.
They did it.
Was that Saturday morning?
Yeah, Saturday half 12.
I was still in my pajamas, yeah.
All right, Dan.
I'm going to go with, it is biased, but I'm going to go with Kyle Walker. Mainly for that.
Got a massive deflection.
Massive deflection.
It did. That's a David Dunn own goal in my book.
What an unbelievable.
But it was a massive deflection because it hit David Dunn and he's massive. So it is effectively a massive
deflection. It might have just brushed the hair
did
on
his left.
Did
you hear the story behind it as well?
Yeah.
They showed the conversation as well.
Can I have a go?
No chance.
You have a laugh. No chance. And he's looked at it. Van der Vaart's gone, no, actually, this is a bit far out. Go on, have a whack.
He just said, "Do you fancy it then?" And he went, "Yeah." And then he started his run up, and Van der Vaart was like, "All right, fair enough."
And he's never practiced a free kick before. Yeah. See, Harry Redknapp was on the bench going, "Oh, he's not going to hit it from there." So, and then I started, went in, all the bench started wetting themselves laughing.
That's probably not what did he actually say?
He's not going to hit it from here.
Yeah, that's like that.
Even my impression is better than that.
I don't know about that.
He had a blinding game as well, and he's.
Especially when you've had a few.
Straight to my head.
I think he's got to start. I think he's got to start.
I think he might. Well, that's only his second goal though. And the other one was the goal against Arsenal.
The screamer against Arsenal.
He's done all right though.
Well, your fullbacks only score screamers, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. They can't score from inside the box.
Yeah.
Mine would be. It's a League 2 one, as I like to go down the leagues.
Yep.
Crawley were third in the league going into the penultimate game of the season.
Yep.
Hereford were second bottom. Hereford went to Crawley and got a 3-0 win, which is just...
I normally do my little bit of League 2 and League 1 research.
So Crawley need, desperate for the win to confirm their automatic promotion. And looking at that, like, Hereford need the points, but they've been on a rubbish run. And they went there and won 3-0. Unfortunately for them, Barnet, who were in third bottom, got a 4-0 win at home to AFC Wimbledon.
That's why
So that, can you imagine coming off the pitch? You pull off the result of the season.
Yeah.
You've won 3-0 against the team right at the top that have spent X amount of money.
And you're coming off, and
they're still 2 points away.
Yeah.
But I think they might have a chance. They're at home, and Barnet, I can't remember who they're playing, but they haven't got an easy game.
Okay. Have Southend made the playoffs now?
They've made the playoffs. They've still in with a small shout. In fact, we'll go on to it. I'll tell you what we've got. So from this weekend,
the old Bilal Mojny scored again.
Yeah. Southampton and Shrewsbury promoted. Southampton obviously from the Championship. Shrewsbury the second automatic slot from League Two. Swindon were confirmed as champions.
Yep.
In League Two, all the relegations are now settled. It's Exeter, Wickham, and Chesterfield joining Rochdale as relegated. I think it's Rochdale. Is it Rochdale?
Yeah, Rochdale, Rock Park.
League Two, Macclesfield were relegated. So there's one stop for that. So going into the last game, Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, which that's is a fantastic tussle. It really is.
I was thinking earlier, I can't remember the last time two teams that were such big rivals were competing over such an important thing. And I thought,
So that is going down to the last game of the season in automatic promotion. Sheffield Wednesday obviously now hold the edge. Stevenage are Notts County for the last playoff spot as well. Stevenage are ahead of them at the moment, so they just need to win their last game. In League 2, Crawley, Torquay and Southend can all still make automatic promotion.
They can still make automatic?
Yeah, right. But Southend need to win and hope that Crawley and Torquay both drop points.
Right.
So I would say unlikely. They've just got to win their game and see what happens. It's still out of Crewe and Oxford for the last playoff spot. I went to the Gillingham game, they blew it.
Yeah,
and then as we've mentioned, Barnet and Hereford to go down as well.
So it's going to be fair play to Plymouth, but getting out of
they've done really well like towards the end of the season. So yeah, fair play to them.
There's still a lot going on in there. Normally, a lot of it's decided by now.
Yeah, a lot of it's
just all the leagues.
Moving on to that. What's your pick of the weekend's games, if you can come up with one? Obviously we've got the FA Cup, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'll go with mine. I'm looking forward to on Bank Holiday Monday. I love the playoffs. I absolutely love the playoffs. So we've got the playoffs starting this week, and the conference playoffs semi-final second legs are actually on Monday. So they're all on Monday. So it's Mansfield, York, Wrexham, Luton. I'll be watching those.
Well, it's a big deal for you, isn't it? Especially the two coming into League Two.
Yeah, I'd like Luton to come up out of those because it's the easiest one to get to, even though it's a hellhole. Cardiff West Ham return leg is also on Monday as well. But we're going to do our predictions on that in a minute. But, Sean, one.
Well, yeah, you've taken exactly what I was going to say. We've been Championship playoffs. And also, I'm a little bit biased against Luton because I want my achievements in Football Manager to be better.
Sean got Luton promoted on Football Manager in his first
two seasons
so
in a row.
He's out there. Cox and Dan, either of you, any particular game that you're looking forward to?
Mine's just one track at the moment. It's got to be the City Newcastle game.
We haven't actually talked about where we think the top. I think both teams are going to drop points. I think City are going to drop points against Newcastle, but I actually think Man United are going to go to Sunderland and drop points there. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's fascinating.
I'm past the point of having any inclination. I just want us to win it. That's all I care about right now.
Keep turning to the non-alcoholic drink, you'll be fine.
Again, on to keeping one eye on the title race, but for me as well, it's exactly the same as Coxon. For me, it's Spurs Villa. It's just, there's so much to play for.
If you don't beat them, then.
Bye bye, Gareth. Bye bye, Luke.
Yeah, it's huge.
Mention the FA Cup final. I don't really know who I want to win. I don't particularly like Chelsea or Liverpool.
No.
Yeah.
The fact that Liverpool are so bad at the moment is quite funny, but I don't particularly want Chelsea to win.
But also, for Chelsea to lose two finals would be fantastic.
Well, you're a Spurs fan, so you would say that. Completely neutral. But the one thing that does resonate with me a little bit is the Chelsea fans before the FA Cup semi-final, the way they did that as well. So
yeah, I mean, there have been a number of incidents.
So has anyone got Dan?
Chelsea 1-0 Suarez own goal in the last minute.
That'll do you. So that's
what I want.
Sean? Are you Chelsea or Liverpool? I'm going to go Liverpool. Dan's going Liverpool. We got one Chelsea.
Yeah, I'll go Chelsea.
Just because you want to make it 2-2 or for any particular reason?
guess on balance I've got more mates than a Chelsea fans. I'm going to go with it.
That'd be for the reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
If I've got more mates, I'll be like, I don't want them to win anything.
Exactly. Well, to me as well, I think it would be terrible to think that City could win the league, Chelsea could win the Champions League, and Liverpool win both cups, and United win nothing. That would be unthinkably bad. So yeah, at least I'd rather Chelsea win two cups than Liverpool.
Yeah, fair enough.
Barcelona be a nice bit of Schadenfreude, like, no matter what the results are.
Yeah, Barcelona Chelsea kicked off at the end of last week's recording, so we haven't talked about it, have we? It was intense, wasn't it?
Oh,
where did you end up watching it? Did you watch it with Jess and
Greg? I went with the guys just over to the Canary. We sat outside because it was absolutely rammed in there. So they've got a screen that faces outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just had a nice evening, stood outside with a few pints. Yeah.
Not Jess. I mean the dress.
I
was a bit worried when we turned up and Jess had brought her boyfriend.
I know. Do you know what?
We've been giving him banter about Dan and Jess all week.
And I was gonna put in some seriously dodgy comments as well. I thought
she probably hired
him. He flew over from Sydney that day. Just say I've been touring Europe with you.
I was gonna be quite naughty, but I thought can't do it.
Talking points from the Barca Chelsea were basically, obviously, Torres' goal, Gary Neville's sex reaction.
I
saw a fantastic tweet, and apologies to who it was, I don't know who it was, but just after full time, it just said, the reaction was going on between Jeff Shreves and
Ivanovic.
Jeff Shreves has just entered the Barcelona dressing room to tell each player individually that they won't be playing in the Champions League final, which I thought was quite funny.
It's not been a very good week for pundits, has it? Niall Quinn's
everyone
Gary Neville's orgasm and Jeff Shreves breaking the heart of Brandon
Chelsea Bayern Munich final, which we'll do a preview of the last show before there, so we're looking forward to that, I must say.
Might have a ticket.
Yeah, Sean might have a ticket.
Yeah, in the Bayern end.
Okay. Nice. Moving on to naughty players. This week's naughty boys. A quick roundup. We've got David Goodwillie, has got 80 hours for assault.
He's a scumbag. I mean, I work for the Daily Record, the Scottish newspaper, and that's been going on for months up there. Yeah. It's been quite a big story, and the amount of scrapes he's been in,
it's ridiculous.
Put it this way, no Scottish clubs would have touched him with a barge pole, so it's amazing he got to go to Blackburn.
Yeah. Jermaine Pennant.
Very naughty boy.
There's not been a lot made of this. It was a tiny run of paper article that I saw, which managed to have me pitch up on it, but drink driving, but it's now appeared that it was following an assault.
Yeah, so he's not only assaulted his girlfriend, he's allegedly assaulted his girlfriend, then gone out drink driving without a licence, without insurance, and smashed his car up.
Yeah. Did he end up with a lamppost underneath his car like last time he got done for it and ended up wearing an ankle tag?
No, I think
I remember that at Birmingham. Yeah, he used to play with it, didn't he?
He's just smashed up another car.
Well, surely, because he went down for that, so surely a repeat offence.
I think he's in a bit of trouble. Yeah, I think he's in quite a lot of trouble.
Definitely.
Speaking of a lot of trouble as well.
Yeah, talking of going down.
The Brighton boys.
Brighton, four charged with sexual assault and voyeurism.
Yeah. The sexual assault and voyeurism makes me think that they were out in Brighton on the lash, saw some girls, got naked, and shake their cocks in their faces.
I've got to be honest, I don't think the prosecution are going to call you for a witness, Dan, based on that summarisation.
You never know, they might. That might be pretty.
Yeah. I'll give you the names: George Baker, Lewis Dunk.
Lewis Dunk
is the one. Yeah, he's been that's the big one. He was up for a young player of the season.
Yeah, and a lot,
because they're all sort of youngsters, aren't they?
Yeah,
sort of 20, 19.
He's a very good player.
Lewis Dunk was the one that has been looked at by quite a few Premier League teams this year.
Big Anton Rodgers, who's the son of Brendan Rodgers, Swansea manager, and Steve Cook, who has since left the club. He's now at Bournemouth. This obviously goes back, I think it was the summer.
July
last year, when he was still there. So, out of season. So it's going to be very interesting to track that and see what happens.
It was out of season, was it? Or was it after a friendly? It was after a game.
It was certainly last year that I first heard the story, but they didn't name any of the accused.
No, it was definitely after a game that they then came back out and went out and brought
okay.
that. But
okay. One other thing to touch on. Nick Barmby has been, well, we don't know whether he has been suspended.
Yeah.
It was widely reported on Monday and Tuesday that he'd been suspended off the whole city. Like, basically, post-match conference on Saturday after the game was basically saying, we need to sign players now if we're going to do anything, and I haven't got the money, pretty much what he was saying. The club then apparently suspended him for making those comments, but since then the club have come out and said that they aren't commenting on whether he's been suspended or not, but they have sacked Adam Pearson,
yes,
who's completely gone. Just a strange one. Very strange one. So we'll keep monitoring that as well. And one last thing before I open it out to see if there's any other news. I don't know if you saw this, Graham Alexander.
Yes.
He announced his retirement.
Brilliant.
Dan, have you heard of Graham Alexander?
No.
He's 40 years old.
Penalty machine.
Yeah, he scored a lot of goals. He's retiring after 1,023 games.
Only the second footballer in English history ever to reach...
No.
Wrong. Is that wrong?
It's the second outfield player.
Goalkeepers
have done it before.
Shelton and Jennings. And
yeah,
like, fair enough.
But, yeah.
Is that a thousand games of football or a thousand...
games. So he appeared. So he makes a sub appearance, I believe.
Maybe play for Everton.
Keith Gillespie, wasn't it the other one?
Is this in the Football League?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So he announced his retirement. They're 2-1 down. Was it Charlton they were playing?
Charlton, yeah.
They're 2-1 down at home. He steps up in the 93rd minute and rockets a free kick in.
Yeah.
We're talking your right back sort of territory.
Really?
Yeah. Cole Walker territory.
I tell you, I mean, most people know him for his penalty taking. It was the most unorthodox way where he runs
very
straight
at the
ball
and then turn it right in the last.
Yeah.
And also, he got booked after this. He celebrated with the crowd, took his shirt off, or just went into the crowd. The ref
What are they going to do? Suspend him for next season?
But as he booked him, he just curled the ref.
Brilliant.
So he was like, book me, I don't care, and then cuddled him. So that was.
Sol Campbell's just retired.
Has he as well?
Came out on Twitter literally 5 minutes before we came down.
People have been waiting for Sol Campbell to come out on Twitter.
Allegedly. But yeah, no.
He's not had a club for a year, has he?
No, I don't think so. But he's officially, Sol Campbell's officially retired. But end of an era. I mean, a great career. He's had a fantastic
whenever I think of Sol, I'll just think of those marauding runs from centre back. Yeah. Where he's just like, he's got, where is he going? Go on, Sol. Nah, he's lost.
Get back.
Because he never scored from them. But I did like watching
him. Fantastic career.
And obviously, he is the Judas at Tottenham, but.
Still, it's nice that you can still look back at it.
Had a great career.
Right, score predictions. We are recording this on Wednesday as usual. It will be live on Thursday as ever, because Thursday's podcast day. Tomorrow night, or tonight if you're listening to it on Thursday, we've got Cardiff West Ham in the Championship playoff semi-final first
at
leg.
Cardiff.
It's at Cardiff. I want a quick score prediction.
Oh, which team's going to bottle it more?
Well, this is it.
Can we go minus scores?
Mike, go.
1-0 Cardiff.
Sean?
1-0 West Ham.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Cardiff aren't too bad at home, but they have got a lot of draws, and West Ham's away record's decent.
2-0 West Ham.
2-0 West Ham. Fine. There we go. Right. Anything else before we move on?
Dunga.
Oh, Dunga.
Dunga, the Brazil World Cup winning captain of 1994, is suing QPR for £1 million.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
What?
Apparently, I was talking to Stu about this morning because he was quite in with the consortium.
Yep, that's right.
I think at some point he was involved in a club in some sort of role.
He was.
When I worked at the BBC, I used to see him down the Springbok at White City all the time in there, you know. That might not have happened, but apparently he lent £1 million to the club and never got it back, which
really?
Is strange because this was at the time when you had Mittal, Briatore and Bernie Eccleston.
Yeah.
Don't think they're all lacking him much money, to be honest. I know Bernie Eccleston's famously tight, but...
Imagine Bernie going, do us a favour, Dunga.
Dunga says, I'm still a QPR fan and I hope we can all sort this so I can get back to supporting the club. Did he grow up in Brazil watching Stan Bowles and Rodney Marsh?
Brazilian Robbie Keane, isn't he?
Gosh.
Oh, that's from what I talked about in Brazil. Is it Brazilian team?
Botafogo.
They've got a right back.
John Lennon.
Yes, he's called John Lennon.
Excellent.
I'm not a fan of the Beatles music. I like soul music more.
Right. Botafogo actually were also in the news because a ball girl inadvertently set up a goal for them.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen this. I only saw the headline, so we'll have to look that up and get it on the website.
Who set up a goal?
A ball girl.
Oh, I thought you said ball girl. I was like, I've never heard of it. Who did he play for?
A bald guy set up the goal, yeah. Great cross by Sean.
That was brought to us by, you would have seen it in the same place, Dan, Natter Football.
Which is
at NATTER Football. Natter Football, they're really good.
Yeah.
The other thing that I saw that made me laugh this week is that when it was announced that there was a press conference at 4 o'clock, and they sent a tweet out saying press conference announced at 4 o'clock for the new boss, delighted for Chris Kamara.
which
also made me laugh, so give them a follow. They are well worth giving a follow to.
I just thought it'd be worth touching on the confirmed slash possible signings are Podolski, Hazard and Marin.
Well, Podolski's confirmed.
Marin's confirmed.
Is he the other Chelsea?
Marco Marin, yeah. Fantastic little player. Gutted. Really, that's a really, really good signing for them. And Eden Hazard is looking like he's going to City, isn't it?
Well, it's a funny one because he's been linked with United and come out and said he'd, of course, listening to an offer from United, he said good things about City. He was at game
he was
between
going
the
Spurs,
two.
So he was going to Spurs a few weeks
it
ago.
It depends on who he was a guest of. He might have just been there as a football fan. The biggest game in Europe.
Maradona was there, wasn't he?
Maradona was, but apparently he's going to Tottenham, so...
There you go. Spurs. Go on, Spurs. The best thing about Hazard is his name.
Everywhere.
Editors everywhere are just thinking, yes.
But I bet that I'm surprised they weren't happier that Hodgson got appointed, because they're going to reuse all the old Glenn Hoddle headlines, can't they? There's so many puns in there.
That's true.
Why
not?
It could just be lazy. Wouldn't have made the job easier, but no, they wanted to think.
Speaking of Roy Hodgson in England, though, you see it up on the BBC today, supposedly Darren Bent could be fit for the Euros.
I hope he's not.
I don't see the point in taking him, even if he is. He hasn't played.
I'd rather take Defoe 1,000 times over than.
So would I. I'm just putting it out there to talk about it, so they reckon he might be ready.
Welbeck might not be.
No, apparently he's fine. Apparently it was just some deep bruising.
Who's that for?
Danny Welbeck.
Okay.
And David James has got to be hanging up his boots now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been released. Well seen.
I've forgotten about that. He's got to hang up his boots now, hasn't he?
I don't know. We'll see what happens with him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn up, go abroad for a year or something.
Yeah, possibly.
He had a couple of shockers, though, didn't he? But,
I remember a game recently where he punched a ball into his own net.
But he used to do that back in the 90s.
I know, exactly.
You
can't blame
years,
that on age, show.
On the website at the moment, we've got the new FFDU show, and they make reference to our show because obviously we had Jess over. Well worth a listen. And one leg on the cut, they met the Jedi, David Barber.
All our questions to him?
They didn't put any of our questions to him, Sean, no. But it was quite interesting. Go on there. It's on there at the moment. You can have a look on footballpodcast.co.uk. One thing that David Barber did say, which I found quite interesting, was they were talking about Sheffield FC, which are known as the oldest club in the world, founded in 1857. This is a quote from David Barber, and I read it and I thought, yeah, you're right. Excuse me. David Barber said, talking about Sheffield FC, I used to wonder who they played. If they're the oldest team, then they must have been playing a club at some point. Otherwise, how can they be a team? And then he found out years later that they used to play between themselves, married men versus bachelors, or names beginning A to L versus names beginning M to Z. As soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, that is actually true. How can they be the oldest team? Because there must have been someone around for them to play.
That's what we should look at on the website. Go through each of our clubs and set up either A to L versus M to Z, or the bachelor scene, see which one would win.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could work out exactly who's.
Well, it's easy because A to L, you just take all the ones that have that name, and then M to Z, like that. And it's fine, Dan.
I'm not up on my.
A, B, C, D. Come on, we went through this before.
Right, get a colour drinks into him and he gets real round. That non alcoholic Bex is going right through him. The clubs tend to, whenever I read about clubs playing training games, it tends to be the olds versus the youngs, doesn't it? Yeah. I should get a little bit creative. I like this idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Like people born in. There's so many things you could do.
To be honest, I'm worried though, this is how apartheid started.
This is so,
Roy Hodgson would allegedly know that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
Thank you for actually reminding me of that. Sure.
In
about 8th or 9th question into the press conference was some ratty journalist, I hope he's not from the Mirror because he might come and find me, who basically said, brought up the apartheid because he went to play in South Africa when it was still there
during the apartheid. And it was like,
the way Hodgson he's probably been briefed by the FA that it might have been coming. The way he answered it was absolutely superb, so absolutely fair play to him.
Just
batted it down. He said, I was there to play football, it wasn't my concern.
And who were the other, there's a few other really high profile English legends that went and played there as well. And it's like, come on, look, these are players that
Francis Benali,
and this was at a time when it wasn't even reported.
Exactly. So yeah, well, that was a ridiculous question, wasn't it? Absolutely ridiculous.
So yeah, have a look at that on the from One Leg on the Cup on the website as well. We retweeted that. A quick question for you, and this comes via footballspeak.com, and they're actually on Twitter as well, @football_speak. Well worth a follow because it's a fantastic website. Guy on there, Touchline Oracle, put a little thing out saying basically who's the most improved player in the Premiership this season. So I asked you guys to come up with who would be your most improved, or just some players, just throw some players out there. The type of players he came out, he come up with Laurent Koscielny. Fair enough, can't argue with that at all. He also came up with Johnny Evans.
Yeah.
Yep. Alex Song.
Okay. I don't think Alex Song.
No, I thought he's been good for a few years.
Yeah, exactly. Ramirez and Clint Dempsey. I can see what you're saying about Alex Song, but I think Alex Song has come into his
Dempsey actually.
Yeah, Dempsey.
But, I mean, he has scored more than he has done in previous seasons, but he's been good for quite some time.
Exactly. But I mean, it's a very interesting article. Yeah, really exactly. Well written as well. Adam Adenage as well. That's the name of the guy, as well as his Twitter following as well, which is Touch Your Knuckle. So have you come up with any others?
Well, yeah, I did think about this. I mean, he touched on, he gave some honourable mentions. First one was to Victor Moses, who has started to come into his own in the latter part of this season.
Weaken. That's all.
So I'm really wanting Victor Moses, because that's not the guy I'm going to go for. Leon Britton, although he's been great for seasons, it's just his first season in the Premiership. He's been a bit of a revelation. But the guy I was going to go for was James Perch at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Second half of this season, he's been superb, asked to play many positions. Last season, he was abysmal.
Yeah.
First five games, he holds the record for the only player ever to be booked in his first five games. Suspended after that. Comes back in his sixth game, scores an own goal winner for Stoke. And second half of this season, he's just been great.
And James Perch had to put with that heinous headbutt from home.
Well, exactly. Razor. How did he break that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm surprised he didn't break all the bones of his face.
Dan, did you come up with any?
Well, for me personally, Eunice Cabal. And it is, and it was actually, I read the comments in the article after this as well, and he had said, do you know what? I completely forgot about Eunice Cabal. That's a fair point.
Fair enough.
Because he has been unbelievable this season, and he is now, you know, our new Ledley King. He's gone for, and he was been, because obviously he went away, we signed him, went to Portsmouth, came back. He was too Bob, he really was, but he is turned into a magnificent centre back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that's my.
I'd personally say Danny Graham, which I know he's been doing a bit of a job in the lower leagues, but I saw him.
It's his first season in the Premier League.
I saw him play about 3 years ago for Watford in the League Cup against Barnet. And he was the worst player on the pitch. He was terrible. Yeah. And I've seen him since a few times.
I'm not sure. I think that's the beer talking there, because
he's stepped up no end in the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, but he started off the season quite well, so he hasn't played in the Premier League before.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily playing it. I'm looking at improvement across just this season.
All right, fair enough.
As a general player, yeah.
Just quickly, you were saying about Alex Song. I know he has been good before, but I know a lot of Arsenal fans, and they love him because he's really taken Tim Cahill, Mikel Arteta. Arteta was playing really well till he got injured, and all of that was down to Song. So I think those two have hit it off, and that's why they've seen him improve. Denver Barr, who I believe this guy mentions as well.
Thing is, he was great last season as well.
Again, he was okay last season.
He scored a lot of goals.
I think his overall performances were absolutely great. He wasn't even starting every week for West Ham. Torres in the last 2 weeks might be worth a tip of that
too.
And I came out with one of my own, and I know he did play well last season, but nowhere near to the standard he has this season. Fabrizio Colaccini.
Yeah,
at Newcastle. They signed him for $10.3 million in 2008.
He didn't really live up to it.
And he was pony.
And actually going down to the Championship made him a little bit, because I know he was good last season, but by all accounts he was in the PFA Team of the Year this season. And whenever I've seen him, he's been absolutely outstanding.
I think
he's gone from a good seat a defender last season to sort of world class top of the Premier League this season.
He always had a lot of potential when he was at Milan and when he was at Villarreal that he never seemed to live up to, and it looks like he's finally going to live up to.
And Newcastle captain now as well. An interesting one. Give Football Speak a follow, because they've got all sorts of stuff like that. Really, really good. You can follow them on Twitter, get links to the websites. So
Touchline Oracle as well. He's a guy who posed the question.
Yeah, well, there'll be more free stuff, Football Speak. So it's @football_speak. Give them a follow. Right, we'll move on. Mike, we haven't got time for your question. I don't know whether you prepared one.
I did, but it can wait. I prepared it for last week as well and didn't use it.
There you
go. We'll
do that next week. Quickly, email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. Visit us at www.footballpodcast.co.uk. As always, any complaints @SimonHenry.
Very quickly, a very quick mention. Congratulations to Clint Bolton, who was named Melbourne Heart Player of the Year. And also, scary bit of news, but hopefully it's fine. There was some horrible rumours last week that Hart were going to be the next team to hand their licence back and shut down.
Oh, really?
Horrible. But they're...
I'd definitely send a complaint about that to Simon Head.
Yeah.
Their chairman, Peter Sidwell, has issued
puns there are for that as well. Hart.
Has issued a huge statement saying that it's absolute rubbish. There's no chance of getting the licence back. Supposedly they're that in the last 3 years they made a $5 million loss, $5 million loss. Hopefully it's all rubbish and that Hart's fine, but I will find out more next week.
Right.
Yeah. We'll do some sort of scan of that story. Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, bye. That wasn't that bad.
That was terrible.
You've been on quite real form today. Oh,
so bad that I didn't realise it.
Shut up, Sean.
They started groaning. Yeah.